Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech Talk gets started in a bit. Doug Swinhart will join us. And if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text the program, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And it's summer today. Here we are, 76 degrees. It is windy, but it is warm. It was to the point where it's like, I got to do this, I got to do that outside. Now, folks, it's way too wet to get out there and rake the yard or any of that sort of thing. So resist. The snow is still melting. Areas are still too wet to rake. Don't damage that turf. And the only reason I know that is because over the years we've had a lot of experts from the University of Minnesota on. Denny Long has a great Smart Gardens program each and every Saturday morning between 8 and 9. So you got to go easy. It's still March. But I was able to get my bike out of the shed, air up the tires, dust it off, get it ready to go for another biking season. I love riding my bike down to the Coon Rapids Dam Regional Park. I love riding my bike out in Elm Creek Park Reserve. Just one of the great joys in life. So to get the bike out of the shed, Lindsey Brown, is a good thing.
Well, I was really emphasizing the advice to say, don't do anything yet. So you kind of lost me at the bike ride part. A bike ride is great as long as you got a little extra cushion for the push-in. You have a little motor on that sucker, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you pointed out that I'm an e-bike cheater.
Be careful on those, people. Wear a helmet.
No. I always wear a helmet. And I pedal, and my wife got one and then talked me into it, and it's great fun because, you know, I've got a really bad knee, and it helps with that. But out in Elm Creek Park Reserve in particular, there are some hills. I'm not saying it's Tour de France riding in the Alps, but there is some hills, and the e-assist, I pedal. We have bikes that you need to pedal. There's some people that just ride around in their motorcycles. You know, they just got the battery and they go 40 miles an hour. These are e-assist. And we both use that sparingly. So I'm not one of those where you'll see just tooling down the bike path, you know, not pedaling at all. That's not the case.
People are ripping down on e-bikes on bike paths at 40 miles an hour. Once people get on two wheels, they think nothing applies to them, except for you, Steve Thompson. I know that you are a rule follower, but that's probably worse than the road, right?
Well, it is, and I'll tell you why. Because you can come around a bend on a bike path, and you could have two or three people walking or jogging or riding slow on conventional bikes. And the biggest violators of this, and I hate to blame kids because I was a kid once.
I hate to blame the kids, but
these kids on these e-bikes or these motorized scooters, they go seriously fast. It's insane.
Kids shouldn't have those motors. Have a razor till you're 18, and if you know it's not for the shaving kind, and I feel like that should be the rule. Like, you can only do the little ollies on your scooter, not like a full e-bike.
There are kids in my neighborhood that have the electric scooters. I am not kidding you. The scooter must go 35 miles an hour. I am not joking. And this kid, she's maybe 12, 13 years old. Certainly not in a high school. I'm saying,
is she wearing a
middle
helmet?
School somewhere? No.
She's going to end up a story on the pit, Steve, if she's not careful.
It's terrifying. And my daughter will sit outside and read and see her whiz by with one of her siblings. And her parents have some sort of insanely fast motorized electric equipment on the street as well.
Typically
so
genetic.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And she says, I fear, now that the weather is warming up and they're back out, that I'm going to need to call 911 someday. She is going to wipe out. I am not kidding you. Some of these motorized scooters, like the Razors, they go so fast, it's crazy.
Wait, now Razors putting motors on too? I thought
yeah.
there was that. There, some things need to stay sacred, Steve. What are we doing? We don't need to go that fast.
No, and these are not bikes. These are literally tiny little scooters with the smaller wheels, and they haul
like the Vespas
the
down at the U of M that all the athletes zoom around on, and definitely don't crash on at any point in time. Don't ask questions about it.
Yeah, it's wild. So the warm weather's back, but I'm excited to have the bike out. Mm-hmm. And what I was saying about yard work, and I'm going to just reiterate for you, Lindsay, it's a little too wet in the yard to get your yard cleaned up for
spring. Oh, no!
Give it a little more time.
I was just going to get the gloves out, Steve. I was going to start raking. I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw some kid down the street when that we had our snow. He had a garden hoe out dealing with a snow mountain. I'm sure it's a versatile tool. Probably be used. You're saying it's too wet. I shouldn't waste my time. I'm going to take your advice just this one time.
Yeah, and I've seen people out there raking the turf for the turf. It's way, way too early. If you want to gently go around in the drier areas and, like, pick up sticks, and I have done that, but in the wet areas where the snow is still there or the snow has just disappeared, it's too wet. You're just doing damage to the turf. And I've learned that from the experts at the U, thanks to Denny Long's Smart Garden Show. So just bear... Take it easy out there. Don't be chomping at the bit to, you know, get out there and tear at your turf. When we come back, we're going to talk tech. Doug Swinhart's going to join us. And this is a final show for a while because next week the Twins open. They get started on Thursday. They have game two of the regular season next Saturday at Baltimore, so no show. So we'll have limited opportunities for tech talk now that Twins season is coming up rapidly. But we'll get started with Doug in a moment. And the number again, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here at News Talk, 830-WCCO.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like that, it's summer. Weird weather from a blizzard a week ago to 76 and breezy. Tech Talk underway. Doug Swinhart joining us. Doug, good to visit with you. And as I mentioned, baseball season gets started. No show next week. And we'll try to have Tech Talk here and there as we move through the Twin season. We'll certainly keep folks updated on the schedule. I want to start the show where we had the last couple of weeks and we focused on a great deal. That Apple equipment for $600, I talked to someone. I haven't bought one yet. I don't think I need another computer at this point in time. I have plenty of old Chromebooks. I have a MacBook Air that I do use as well, so I don't really need a computer. I don't want to be that guy with 10 different computers to manage.
I'm struggling with the same issue.
Right. Yeah. But I would love to try. But I do know someone who bought it and said, wow, for
really?
$600, they are blown away.
So it's running cool and it's fast.
Yeah.
Life is good, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they were able to. And because they were already on Apple equipment, that is seamless.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an iPhone and switch iPhones, the process can be seamless if you have it backed up properly, and that's what they ran into with that. So, so far, Neo's huge hit, and someone I know very well is thrilled with the equipment.
Yeah, that's all I'm hearing is good reports on this machine.
Yeah.
It's I think it's going to be an Apple savior. I really do. It's just got far, far too many good things going for it. The price is right. You can swap out equipment and do a little repair yourself, which I think is a big step for Apple. Even if it's just a little bit, it's a big step. I think they've got this one right.
Yeah, so very positive news. It'll be very interesting to see how competitors, and those are Windows machines, PCs, how they respond to all of that. Because, Doug, we talk about it over and over, and I know you've been very partial over the years to HP equipment. You've been a big fan of it, whether it's printers or laptops, desktops, etc. We use, in my full-time job in the printing business, a large commercial HP digital printer. That it's just the cream of the crop in that space. So I would say, and we're talking about a gigantic, an HP 15,000 digital printer. I mean, this is one where you load skids of paper into it, et cetera, and on the other side out comes some pretty magical stuff. My point being is there is other good equipment, but how will they respond to the MacBook Neo? I think that'll be fascinating to see it develop here in
And I think, too, that part of that issue is with PCs, you've got this not such good reputation with Windows 11. You know, people are going to scratch their head and go, really? If I was going to buy a laptop that it was a PC brand, I would absolutely get an HP business line, and I would make absolutely certain that I had Wolf Security, which is a security program from HP that comes with the business line free of charge, and it protects your machine down to the bare metal. So it's that's the only way I would even consider getting a laptop with Windows 11. That's it. There's just far too many bad reports, and I think that, you know, Microsoft kind of let down the hardware industry with this fiasco with 11. I would think they would be much, much better off to wait a year, work out the bugs, stop having all their users beta test. I think they just jumped the gun. It's really not good for anybody. So I think this is going to actually promote Mac sales as well. It has to.
Yeah, and I think beyond that, you and I have talked about it, and you see more and more beyond our show. People talking about the options in Linux machines, and you brought this up. If you are looking at a PC, and you know whether it's a Dell or a ASUS or HP, a lot of good equipment out there.
That
they are starting to preload these with Linux distributions, and you can order the machine that way. So if you're leery about, hey, I need a new machine and I want to try something new, you can order it that way, and it comes good to go out of the box for you.
You bet. Fire them up, and they're rocking and rolling.
Yeah. And, you know, Doug, it's not as common, but I would think that is another area of growth. We'll see more and more of that going forward. And like I say, you can go to these manufacturers' websites, and you can spec it that way, and it'll ship to you with Linux ready to
and,
go.
And HP has partnered up with System 76 in Colorado. They're in Denver. Yeah. And System 76 has created their own Linux called Pop Linux, P-O-P. And it's wonderful. And they offer a lifetime support on the Linux.
Wow.
Lifetime. And I said, well, that must be like 7 years. No. As long as you own that computer, you call us up with a question, we're going to answer it. I'm just amazed. But I think that they realize that if people are willing to spend 20, 25 hours going through this learning curve, they're not going to need much support after that. They really aren't. It's and it's a pretty system. A little bit young for my taste, but it's gorgeous. It's fast. It runs good. And you can change the desktop and create it till it has the look and feel of anything you like. That's one thing about Linux is when they talk about free, it isn't so much a free bottle of beer or a free can of pop. When they talk about freedom, it's the freedom to do with that operating system as you will. It's open source, and it's a winner of a philosophy. Yeah. And Linux community has already seen a tremendous surge in uptake and downloads and installations and support. So it's a good thing. I think it's way overdue. I would have liked to have seen this happen 15, 20 years ago. But we waited long enough, and by golly, it happened.
Yeah, and Doug, I think people hear that and say, well, I'm familiar with Windows and so on and so forth.
Sure.
I think the interface with Linux has come so far where people, you're still going to be able to get to Google Chrome or any other browser you choose to use, whether that's Brave or Mozilla Firefox or Safari, or you'll still be able to get to the internet and do all the things you need to do. But I think there's some advantages security wise, and that's something you've discussed. So ease of use shouldn't be a problem. Being able to do documents with like something like Libre or spreadsheets, that's all very doable and all will be familiar.
Oh, no question. Yeah, you know, the thing is, I've told people this for years, and when Linux started to come out with a graphical user interface, a GUI, it was like overnight that they just shot off in popularity. And I tell people all the time, you know, whether you're working on a Mac, a PC, Unix system, Linux system, Chromium system, they all work about the same. It's kind of like a Chevy and a Ford. They both got round steering wheels. They both got a gas pedal and a brake pedal, and away you go.
And
I think that people need to realize that these operating systems are much like that. They all have icons and all have a mouse that we can just point the pointer at and click or double-click, depending on how we have it set up. And it really is just a matter of getting used to your eyes having the habits of where to look and your hands to automatically go where they're supposed to. Just like everything else, there's a small learning curve. You got to train your body. You don't have that muscle memory built yet. But after that, it's just nothing to it. Nothing to it at all.
And by the way, you can reach out to Doug. He's here through the news at 4 o'clock, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And let's go to the text line, and we're going to start with a little AI. I go to websites with a question, and the answers are AI-generated. Then they all have a disclaimer that says the answers may not be correct. And the question from the text line is great. What's the point?
Oh, well, most of them are correct. That's first of all. And second of all, you know, AI, it's a never-ending learning process. Some of them are really top shelf. I sat and watched Nancy on a website the other day, and she thought she was talking to a person. It was artificial intelligence. Yeah, seriously, they're getting better. Give it a little time. Now, that said, the people who are really worried about this are the big promoters of 5 and 10 years ago. They're going, well, wait a minute. You know, all of a sudden, it's not just intelligent programming, it's programming itself. And they're going, well, then what are we going to do? And I hear this from writers on the internet, and people who are developing software are now starting to think this way. And some of the larger companies are taking a look at their full financial system and going, you know, it isn't that we're broke and we got to just get rid of people, but from looking at the whole big picture, we're better off to scale back our workforce, get rid of 30-40% and just let the computer take over. And it isn't a question of, well, we want to be mean or we want to be greedy. It's just in business, you got to maximize profits. It's the law. You just have to. So it's going to be an interesting several years coming up in our future.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort out. I'm
worried about this. You know, it's we can't have half the country being out of work.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, back to you go and more search engines, more and more, you know, it's all over in Google being asked. Oh, yeah. You know, I wish there was a way to completely toggle it off.
Oh, you can't. Not anymore.
I've tried. I write an email, and it's just saying, don't you want to say this? No, I know what I want to say. And I get frustrated, and I brought it up on the program before, that I think there's going to be, and there's already a backlash to it. And I've said this before. I am capable of writing an email.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need that help.
Well, and you know, pretty soon it's going to get, and we're getting there already. The correspondence, email, whatever, it's so polished and so professional. It just sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, we're still human, and problems with tone, or no more problems with, I didn't mean it that way. You know, I meant it as a joke, and you took it. Well, it's interesting to see how this is happening so fast. And I agree. I think this flood of AI, I think it's, people are becoming overwhelmed by it. And I agree. I think there's a lot of people who will say, I'd like to have a switch so I could just turn it off, even for a little while. I think that would be a good thing, but I don't think it's possible anymore. I just don't think it's possible.
And I disagree. I think I'll disagree with you on this front. That I think there will be a space, and I think there will be a market for, hey, you can browse, you can write your emails without interference from AI.
The people that write
their emails with AI still stand out like a sore thumb. People don't talk that way.
Right.
So I think there's going to be a backlash to all of it, and I'm one of them. I don't need help writing an email.
Well, if we look at marketing, somebody's going to sense this and go, there's a niche here, and they're going to jump right on it. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, as far as for my email, you know, I've used this language grammar tool for years, and I really like it, and it really has helped me. Well, they added AI, but you can shut that off completely. You don't have to use it at all. You can have the old style of the LG, language and grammar, without the AI. And I'm not so certain I care for the AI. It's just because it comes right up and it says, well, do you want it to be professional? Do you want it to be casual? Do you want it to be personal? So that actually hits you that style before it even answers. I just shut it off. I still get the spelling and the grammar, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, and I've heard it described this way. I think going forward, if AI was used as an electric nailer versus holding a nail and a hammer, that's great. I don't need AI to construct the entire project for me. You know what I'm saying?
There's actually authors and editors on the net that do the magazines that are saying the same things. This guy, I'll have to find that link and send it to you. This gentleman talks about, all of a sudden he's looking at it, he's going, well, wait a minute. He said, this thing is composing my content. It's taking care of all my social media at this point. What used to take me 8 hours now takes me 8 minutes. What am I going to do the rest of the day? And trust me, this gentleman is concerned. This is his profession. And it's been taken over quietly, slowly, and just shebang. It was done. It's going to be interesting for sure. It really is.
Yeah, there's a lot to be discussed in that space for sure. When we come back, we'll go to the text line again. By the way, if you want to call and visit with Doug, you can, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We're going to talk about emails and texts and AI, and then also we're going to get back to Linux. And and they want to follow up. Is Linux a good idea if I go out and buy a new machine? We'll get Doug's thoughts on that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us on this Saturday. Twins start this coming week their season opener at Baltimore on Thursday. It's a matinee. We'll have another matinee next Saturday. No show next Saturday. But, Doug, let's get to that text line right now, and I want to jump right back to Linux. We touched on it, but, yes, you can order a brand-new computer with Linux pre-installed.
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to see more of this happening. Dell is going to be opening up the floodgates. Lenovo is way ahead of this ballgame. HP is way ahead of this ballgame. And I think it's a trend that Microsoft kind of brought on themselves. But nonetheless, it's time. It really is time. And do a little research. Jump on YouTube so you can see what the screens look like. And you just, the amount of help that's out there free of charge is enormous. And it's really trying to find, if you're on a YouTube, it's trying to discover who makes sense to you the best. You want them to be able to speak English good and clear, and hopefully they're your next door neighbor, and a lot of times it will be. But there is an enormous amount of support out there for open source packages. And play with it. It will be an interesting travel for you, guaranteed.
Yeah, and I've looked online. I mean, you can go out and order it, have it delivered to your house all ready to go. Right out of the box.
If you're afraid of configuring it, absolutely. Yeah, it's the best way to go.
And I would think a lot of this, and maybe the momentum, and there's been instances over the years. I even go back to Windows XP, and, you know, it was a good operating system, and people were really happy with it, and all of a sudden, we can't do that anymore. Really a good, stable, mature operating system. I think of all their operating systems over the years, XP might be one of the most highly thought of. Point being is, though, you get to Windows 10, and the whole thing last fall of people, should I update? Do I give them more money to keep security updates going? What do I do? We went through that a ton here on the show last fall, and I just think that kind of constant confusion is not good business.
No, I agree. And just to let you know, Steve, there's another little fine point. We discussed it briefly, but you get your Linux system, you jump online, and you download and install VirtualBox, put out by a little company here in Minneapolis called Oracle. They're not very big, now are they, Steve?
Yeah.
But VirtualBox, now you got VirtualBox on your computer, you can reinstall Linux inside VirtualBox like it's on a separate computer. Pull it up and work with it anytime you want.
Yeah.
And you can have XP, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, Windows 11, all in separate little compartments. And, you know, I tell people don't worry about buying antivirus or malware or any of that. So here's the thing. When this gets all completed, you got it all set up, you take a snapshot, an image of this, and if something goes wrong, you run into a virus or Windows decides to crash on an update, you just copy that image right over the top, fire it up. 20 seconds, you're back in business.
Yeah.
VirtualBox. Do a little research on that. And it's also in the Software Manager, which once you get into Linux Mint, you go down to that bottom selection and you click on Software Management. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of software packages. Almost all of them have some kind of a review, some kind of a background. You're going to want to look for something. Stay away from the programs that are 20 years old. Get something relatively new, 3, 4, 5 years old. Do a little reading to see if people are getting along with it and go from there. Don't have to spend a lot of money, so that's a big plus as well. It's the open source community that you want to really focus on, in my opinion, today. Just stick with it and you'll get it. Biggest distance people will travel, Steve, is between their ears. Once they get past the fact that it's not just for servers anymore. It's not just a black screen with a bouncing cursor waiting for you to be the most intelligent computer science major in town. It works, and it is an everyday driver for most people. It really is.
Follow up on that on our text line. I want to get to one. And someone has Linux on their desktop. I haven't heard of Victoria. Maybe you have.
Oh, I have not.
Yeah. But anyway, they say they have Linux Victoria. I get scam emails at least every other day. I thought Linux was supposed to protect from scams. Please advise. And that coming from Jerry. I doubt that has anything to do with the operating system. It likely has to do with whoever you're getting your email from.
Yeah.
You know, if you have Yahoo or Gmail or whatever.
Oh, you know what? This could actually be Linux Mint. They had in 21.2, they named that version Victoria.
Okay. So I don't want to dwell on that, but highly unlikely the operating system has anything to do with scam emails.
Yeah, no. This has to do with his email provider.
I
would say jump on Proton, proton.me, set up a new account, and watch what happens. And you can filter your whole email. Just integrate it right into there for you. But I think that would probably take care of it.
Yeah, and, you know, scams, we've talked about email. I've Yahoo account that I've had for ages and ages and ages. I pay him a little bit of money every year for extra storage on Yahoo. Same thing with my Gmail account. I've had it for years and years and years. Two old personal email accounts. And every now and then I got to clean up that stuff filters into my inbox. But once you click it as spam, both Yahoo and Gmail and I have a Proton based on your recommendation, and boy, has that been clean, is they do a really good job taking care of spam. You mark it as spam, odds are you're not going to get that anymore.
That's right. And a lot of these, they can put the link on here. If you want to unsubscribe, click this. Oh, sometimes I've done that, and I've opened up the floodgates to all kinds of other businesses. That one doesn't come in anymore, but 100 others do. So you're much better off just to mark it as spam and let your email provider take care of it for you. Yeah, I really, really do think that people got to get past this. It's always the operating system. It's not. If it's focused on email alone, that really is a huge tell. I agree with you. I think it's exactly what he's dealing with.
All right, let's bring in Lindsey Brown. We had a caller that didn't want to go on the air but wanted Doug to visit about something.
Yeah,
Lindsey,
shout out to Jeff in Wisconsin. I don't believe what anybody tells me about Wisconsin. You guys are a lot cooler and have some great exports. Yeah. I hope I do you justice, Jeff. It seemed like he got scammed on Google. It locked up the computer. The loud noise happened where it said, suspicious activity, call Microsoft. He called Microsoft, followed some of the instructions. They went down to the dark place. He realized that. He has since had the computer cleaned out. Gmail passwords have been changed. He got a phone call on his IP phone. The main question is, should I trust the computer to be clean? And if not, okay, that's a no. Hear that, Jeff? That's a hard no. And he said he was operating with a Windows 10. Obviously, we speak a lot of criticism to Windows 11, especially lately. Where would you suggest he go from there? He has an iPhone and everything else, but he's never worked with like Apple computers or anything.
Well, you know, first of all, this thing that popped up in his browser, that was not Microsoft. That's actually malware. That's another company that is using the Microsoft name to lure him in. And here's how this works now. He called him. So you see, when he gives him a credit card number, it's almost impossible to have that reversed because he initiated the business. It's kind of a new philosophy in how they're getting your dollars and how they're hanging on to it. But the fact that he let them connect to his computer, change all his I think this man could be in a world of hurt if he isn't cautious. I'd be getting a hold of my bank, my credit cards. I would stop all business until I got that sorted out. including and not limited to getting a hold of the credit bureaus and saying, listen, I want to lock up my credit bureaus, at least for the time being. Well, Steve, you do that all the time, I believe.
Yeah.
This is a serious thing that he's got going on. They have access to his bank. They have access to his credit cards. They have access to his whole entire life. He needs to get this squared away as quick as possible. And he's more than welcome to give me a call next week, and I'll help him.
Yeah. Doug, we've brought it up over and over on the program. And I want to say this clearly, and then we'll go to a break and come back. Any urgent call to action that you get via text, via phone call, via email, pause and check it out through another source. Do not resist the temptation to act on that urgent call to action when it comes in electronic form, via the phone, text, or email. Check that out. Take a breath. Stop. Think. Do not immediately call. Do not immediately respond. Do not open attachments if you're not absolutely sure. It's going to save a lot of pain. We'll come back. Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart in. We'll go to the text line. And we do have time if you want to jump on 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. 8 minutes now in front of four. Here's a good follow-up to Linux. And I should have asked this a long, long time ago. And we've talked about Linux and all the distributions and how it can be a good option for maybe an older machine that you can't update to Windows. Could be a good option for an older Mac that can't be updated with the latest Mac operating system. But Doug, can you boil it down, you know, why you're a fan of it? You know, for a lay person, not a computer person, why do you like it? Why could it be a good idea?
Well, first of all, is once you play with Linux, the first thing you're going to notice is after 3-4 months, it doesn't automatically start to slow down. It stays consistent. Updates. It updates all by itself if you wanted to. I prefer to be in control of that, but it tells me when they're ready. And they have been coming in fast and furious, mostly updating browsers. Well, that's our most vulnerable point on the internet, no matter what you're running. So, but Linux, I really like the community. Linux Mint is probably the best support forums I've ever seen, and it's users helping other users. These are guys that have probably been playing with Linux for 15, 20 years, 5, 6, and they'll offer an answer, but you'll get 5 or 6 of them. And this is all free of charge. They'll work with you just like they want you to be successful. And it's a mindset that on the internet, we're one great big happy family. And we are our brother's keeper. You're not going to find this type of attitude, I don't think, anywhere else other than open source. And all Linux is open source, and just go with it. Now, that said, these people do have to make a living. If you like Linux and you've been working with it and you've had it on your computer now 5-6 months, for goodness sake, jump online to Linux Mint and donate $5 if you can afford it, $10, $15, whatever you feel comfortable with. The philosophy here that really kicked this thing off is the fact that we are in an evolutionary period, and the internet is more important than any one company, any one person, any one country. It's that important that we need to make sure everyone has equal access to the information online. And I think that this has fallen, come right, just right straight through with Linux, and it's even starting to affect Windows users and everybody else as well. So it's going to be good. In my mind, there should be no such thing as closed architecture or software that's locked up. Everything should be open source. Just stop and consider. These scammers and stuff, all that will go away. Well, in a perfect world, it would all go away. There's always going to be some guy that's trying to be slick and take something for nothing. I don't know why. I wish that these intelligent people would point their talents in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's kind of the way it is, you know. There's guys that got this little message on here. Microsoft number, they'll never ask you to call them. Never, ever.
No. And I just wanted to emphasize that before the break, and we don't have a show next week. The twin season gets started, and we'll have Doug back as soon as we can the spring as the twin schedule allows. But sure. Just a reminder, before we run out of time on the show today, those urgent calls to action, phone calls, texts, emails, and then beyond that, email attachments, tread very lightly, pause. I know the tendency is you get this urgent warning, call now. Don't.
Well, take these messages break. Were designed to scare people.
Correct.
These scammers are going to use alarming language and fake warnings to pressure you into calling their number, where they will attempt at that point to sell you unnecessary services. A lot of them are selling you free software. Oh, well, and then, of course, they bill it as the service to put it on your machine. It's ugly. It's really ugly. Just use some caution and be aware that, in my opinion, really, really honest people, we are trusting, sometimes too trusting. Well, we're honest. We believe that other people are basically good. And today, that's not so much true. And this, you don't have to look them in the eye. It's created a whole different branch of criminal. It really has. So yeah, be cautious. Use your common sense.
Yeah.
Good advice, Stevie.
Resist that temptation to respond immediately.
Exactly.
You know, take a moment and check it out. And if you do, you know, go to another device. You know, go open another browser. Go check it out. Chances are you're going to see it's a scam. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, we've got to run. Your phone number and email, how do people reach out to you?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin at wccotech.com. admin at wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And I really want to hear from Jeff next week. Thank you, Stevie. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep. We'll talk to you down the road. There he is, Doug Swinhart. And by the way, twin season starting up. And we'll squeeze in Doug here from time to time this spring and summer. We've got to run. We have the news. We have the weather. We'll start with CBS. Savor it. It's going away. We'll continue to serve you here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.